the Rosh Ois Ches, Shechabed loim de Torah b'chol yecholte. A person should give kavod to those who learn Torah b'chol yecholte. So, interesting, the Tosfos Yom Tov, when he translates b'chol yecholte, he touches it means moment. A person should be willing to mechabed loim de Torah even when it comes to spending money on it. There is such. There's definitely Chazal to talk about that a person, this Mahana Talmid Chacham in the Chosav, that's definitely a Milo. But the Pshuta, the Chol Yecholta means it's not limited Afka to money. It means anyway. I think it means money is a barometer. If you're willing even to spend money, that's an indication of how seriously you take this. And the Kud of Kavod. We could only learn from something which we respect, something which we hold in power every, even worse than in disdain, etc. We're not in a position to learn from. The concept of giving kavod is the currency of we give kavod by recognizing the value which is there. How do you express the value that you see? You express it by giving kavod, something which I really feel is valuable. I have a certain natural respect towards it. I have a certain natural kavod towards it. If we don't give kavod, A, means we don't recognize the value which is there, and B, we're training ourselves not to recognize the value which is there. So which it's even worse. You know, if I can act with a Talmid Chacham as if he's my equal, so my mind's going to equate that. That's going to become a reality, and so you know he has his opinion, and I have my opinion. It's his approach, and I have my approach. I'm not going to be able to learn from him because we're shava b'shava. So when a person gives kavod, so he is saying that there's somebody over here which has a certain value, something which I hold special and dear, and I want to recognize that fact. L'havdil. So a person may be giving kavod to some type of a secular figure, be it, you know, and some people, the world of sports or politics or the world of actors, etc. They hold this person as something which they think is of significance. He's very good at imitating people, so I think that's a cool thing, right? He's able to pretend he's somebody for in front of a camera for a lot of hours and be good at it. So I think that's something really cool. I think that's something special, so I respect him for that. He's very good at hitting, like we spoke about, he's very good at hitting a ball with a stick, right? So I think it's something really cool and special, so I respect him for that, because I can't do it and he could, right? So I respect him for that. I do respect him for that, because I can't do it. Right. So that's a statement. Or this guy, I respect him because he's got a lot of these, we spoke about the dead, having these little pieces of green paper with pictures on them. I respect him for that. You know, he's got I don't have a lot of those pieces of paper, and he does. So I respect him for that. So I give him kavod. So the kavod is not the mice. You know, you see the ticker tape parade. That's a way to express the value which is there. We want to learn from Talmid Chachamim. Shimon Talmid Chachamim is the way that a person is going to pick up the Torah. The Torah becomes a part of a reality of a life. That it's not just something which is book knowledge, it's not something which is information, it's not something which is intellectual, it's real, it's alive. If we don't respect, we're not going to get that, we're not going to absorb that. So the Aruch Chaim L'malo, the maskil, the person who is smart, he wants something which is going to take him up to the next level. So there's a Sephirna, the Sephirna says sometimes you can't go to the next level yourself. He says, in general, it's very hard to go, you can go quantitatively, but qualitatively, a major change. You need outside help. He points out that's most of the cases. There are some exceptions. He talks about the Nazir is able to go to Madrega, which is way beyond what a person normally can do through the parish of Naziris. But in general, to be able to take you to the next level, you need somebody who's adding at that level who can point out to you, this is what you should do, this is not what you shouldn't do. That's what you need. Well, if you don't make the investment of giving that respect, you're not going to be able to get that opportunity. So the Malo Lamaskil, to take you up to that Madrega, you need to give respect. There's I learned something when I came here. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just an interesting thing. You know, I grew up in the world which maybe, you know, was that, you know, you asked by, you know, by a rebbe or by an olam gadol, you asked an eitzah. So that was it. You know, you asked an eitzah, so you listen. So I came here and I was, you know, dealing with Bachar Shaduchim. I think what it was, you know, somebody asked me an eitzah, so I gave him an eitzah, and he ignored what I said. It happened a few times, you know, and I was like, what's going on? Then I realized, you know, in English word, advice, you don't have to accept advice. You ask for advice. You get there. You know, then after you get the advice, you sit there and you weigh in your mind whether you agree or disagree, and you decide you disagree. So you ask for advice, you got advice. And I said, okay. I mean, you know, I understand, you know, like, you know, what do you want from me? I only ask for advice. I didn't ask what to do. Ask what's for advice. It's a thought process. I'm sure I've done it to my rebbeim also, so I can't have time. Whatever done to me, I did to my rebbeim at some point in life. I know that. But if there's so many things about it, it's not necessarily intelligent. You know, am I infallible? I'm not the Pope, you know, so I'm not infallible, right? But, you know, when somebody came to ask me about an eitzah, about how to deal with something with shalom bayis, and something which I've been working with and about, and besides that, I'm married, which, you know, I've been working with and about for longer than he has, longer than he's been alive, that's besides the point. But I also been working with couples and etc. for years. Probably I might know more than him. It'd be logical to assume that. So, like, he said, well, it doesn't make, you know, he decided he has a better way of doing it. I mean, it's very possible he does, but at least I would suppose he would have maybe discussed it with me before he chose the other path and see, maybe I disagree. I can point out why maybe my way is better. So there is a logic behind that. It's not a kind of lack of covet, but like we were shove of a shove, and he had his approach, and I had my approach. You're supposed to argue with your Rebbe in learning. And that's good. You know, the Mora says that the Rav and Talmid not so oyvim, but they become enemies. Bashar, they're not zosmi. They become oyvim. And Rebbe for sure can miss many things in learning. But I think most Bachim understand that, you know, in the world of learning, many times the Rebbeim have a lot more experience than them, and probably they have a good point. They at least hear them out very well. When the Bachim is busy over screaming louder than the Rebbe, why the Rebbe's wrong? Maybe the Bachim stops and says, well, maybe I'm missing something. Right? That would make sense. So the same way that's true in the world of learning, it's also true in the world of life. Even when you learn, a person learns a sefer. You know, Rav Aaron Cutler writes in one place. He writes, you know, the people. There's, we don't, it's not negated to us so much. It says, you know, mechilas koy terosa. Mechilas koy terosa means, you know, you see sefer, you quote sefer X, and you say mechilas koy terosa. Hey, look, Rabbi, he's wrong. Like, you know, I'll tell you what I think the pshat in the Gemara is. You know. There's a lack of maybe of understanding of what's going on over there. He writes in one place that he was very, you know, obviously doesn't. You write, you quote the Ksois, he said, Mechilas Koy Terosa of the Ksois, I think he missed something over here. Probably the person who missed something over here wasn't the Ksois. Probably it was the person who was asking the question. The Ksois has been through the sieve and the sifter of the Cheshivas of Klai, so he came out Gantz Noki. If he's still standing there on the shelf in a position of cover, there's a reason why he's still on the shelf. Kleistel's been through many Lamdonim who came after and said, you know what, the Ksois belongs there. So a person quotes Mechilas Koy Terosoi, and he starts, it's a license to say whatever you want afterwards. So as much as we don't do that consciously, we do it subconsciously. And that's when the kud of covet is. Covet is, I'm willing to put the person on the pedestal. I'm willing to say, you know what, there's something there which is beyond me, something there which I recognize as special, which is different, and I'm going to relate to him from in that type of relationship, that he's there and I'm here. Not that he can't be wrong. Not that he can't ask a question. Not that he can't try to understand. Not that you can't say maybe there's, you know, that for you it doesn't apply. Many of those things are possible, right? But at least you're starting from a starting point of the relationship is not shava b'shava, and you're definitely going to give a lot of weight to what the person is doing or saying, and that's. For us, it is a window to go to another world. A window to go to another world. I spoke about the Dev Shemesh Mechamim before. You know, it takes you to another level. It takes you to another world, which you don't even know exists. What it means, the Torah can become part of a person's life. So that's very, very chashuv in the kudah of Ur Chaim Lamal Lamaskal.